This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
There's a wild weekend of basketball, and it should be a wild night of basketball, too. The last regular season game for the UNC Bears before they embark on the Big Sky Conference tournament. I'm going to try to go through the tie-breaking scenario. They're out of the bottom four, which is very important. The rest of it, it's all about seeding and who do you want to play. It was very confusing, and I think we'll take a look at some of that. The Nuggets Friday night was an amazing game. A lot of drama against the Thunder, and then stout physical against the Timberwolves. A lot to get to, short time to do it. The whole show starts now. After a day off on Friday, at least from the show, we had some amazing high school basketball going on throughout the course of the weekend. And Kyle Johnson, Bruce Dick have been doing a phenomenal job of broadcasting as we're still in the postseason in Preps Hoops. So some big games coming up later this week. Excited to get that schedule rounded out and take a look at what's coming up on Thursday or Friday or however we'll do that. But Friday night, everything kind of started off Friday night as the Nuggets got set to take on the Oklahoma City Thunder. Denver loses in overtime, 127-121. You had the Lu Dort trip of Joker. Joker absolutely lost his mind. Seriously, lost his mind. Jalen Williams and Joker going at it. I'll tell you right now, and this isn't just from a fan's perspective of the Nuggets and Joker, but if that big man is in my face and has that kind of a look, I'm a go away. I'm a go away. Yeah, Big Hub says Joker looks scary. I think he's getting frustrated with it. I think, and it's not just him. I think players are getting frustrated with the Thunder. I mean, they get fouled a lot, but on defense, they don't get called. And that one was interesting. Some people arguing, should that have been upgraded to a flagrant two? Dort was ejected from the game. It's not a basketball play. Ball's inbound. You're inbounding the ball on the opposite side of the floor. Joker's just running by to go down to the other side to set up the offense. And Dort sticks his butt out there and trips him, knocks him down. Tries to get a hold. Looks like he was kind of even getting dangerously close to that knee. Joker goes down. Joker told the media after the game that it was an unnecessary play by Dort and a necessary reaction by Joker. Yes. Yes. 100% I agree with all of it. Was it the absolute worst foul in the history of the world? No. But there's no place in basketball for that kind of stuff. It's a non-basketball play. He's running by you. And you stick your butt and your leg out to trip him as he's running by you. You knew exactly what you were doing. That's a garbage play. And I think Joker was 100% justified. He did look terrifying. Unfortunately, the game didn't wrap up the way I wanted it to. But man, Joker was getting booed every time he touched the ball after that scenario. I mean, I'm seeing so many people. Like Mark Daigneault, the head coach of the Oklahoma City Thunder. He said, I will say this on the upgraded flagrant two call. If a player is running up the floor and gets tripped, we expect a flagrant two from this point forward. That's all. That's the precedent. Dude, shut up. You get the calls all the time. The Thunder get the calls. And not just the Nuggets and not just the fan base. They're not the only ones talking about it. Several times this year, you've had Wimby, stars with San Antonio, stars with Minnesota, several other players commenting how the Thunder kind of get those calls. I mean, Cade Cunningham, his conversation in a magazine a couple of weeks ago. Talked about how certain players just really are seeking fouls. Didn't necessarily name them, but we know who he's talking about. He's talking about Shea. Now, Shea didn't play in overtime of that game. He's on a little bit of a minute restriction, but he still went off. 36 points for him. Listen, the Thunder are a better team right now. I thought maybe the Nuggets would find a way to pull this one off. It was a fun game. It was a blast of a game. But it just it wasn't in the stars. And then the Timberwolves game, I don't know, Sunday afternoon. I'd love to find that record of the Nuggets when they play on the in the middle of the day on Sunday. It's never good. Now, obviously, Cam Johnson, there's a big conversation to be had about him right now. You know, he was bad against the Thunder. I think he had 7 points. He was 1 for 4 from the three-point line. Against the Timberwolves, 0. He was 0 for 6 and 0 for 4 from 3. Now, a lot of the national talk you're hearing, oh, we're going to find out if that trade actually worked out for Denver. Listen, MPJ, if he were inserted into Cam Johnson's spot right now, I am very confident saying you're getting the same guy. You're getting the 19, the 20, 21 points per game. Occasionally he goes off and gets you in the high 20s, but for the most part, I think he's still averaging that. Whether he's on the Nuggets or the Timberwolves or the Warriors or the Thunder, whatever. There in Brooklyn, they are giving him the green light to absolutely launch it. It's not, you can't just compare apples to apples with this. We all know what the real trade was, and it wasn't just for Cam Johnson. It was to remove that contract so they could pick up Tim Hardaway Jr. They could bring back Bruce Brown. They could bring in Jonas Valanciunas, a true backup center for the Nuggets. So you can't just compare a straightaway trade there. Yes, Michael?
The Nuggets' all-time record on Sunday afternoons is 233 to 236. Couldn't find anything more recent.
So they have a losing record on Sundays.
That is correct.
All right. Thanks, Mike. I mean, just if you look at Brooklyn, Michael Porter Jr. is averaging 25 points per game. It's good, man. He's good for him. They're 15 and 45. They're saying, we know, I mean, Porter's their highest scorer almost every single night. Their last game against Cleveland, Porter shot it. He shot 8 threes. He shot it 17 times and had 26 points. That's what you're going to do. And I loved MPJ, man. I wish it would have worked out differently. I wish they would have got him for a contract close to what they had Christian Brown's contract. That'd be great. But it was too big of a contract for what he was doing. You know, against Boston, they get destroyed, 148 to 111. He had 18 points. He was 2 of 4, 6 of 12. So, I mean, he's at, like, to be honest, the last few games, they've been a little bit more efficient. You know, he was 3 of 9 from 3 against the Spurs the other night, 25 points. Would I like to see Michael Porter Jr. as the starter, as the number 3 right now for Denver over Cam Johnson? Yes. But that's not how it works. Would I also like to not have Jonas Valanciunas, Tim Hardaway Jr., and Bruce Brown? I know how that last movie ended with Joker and Gordon and MPJ and Jamal and Brown. And then who's coming off the bench? Zeke Nagy, Peyton Watson, who, yeah, is coming on strong. Who knows if he's coming on as strong. I did like what Calvin Booth had to say, like with some of those guys. He was kind of referencing KCP and Bruce Brown at that time after the championship. But if MPJ's there, do you see the growth that we've seen with P-Watt? Now, obviously, Cam Johnson was down a lot this year, so you got to see a lot of Peyton Watson. But either way, listen, where's our panic level here around the Nuggets? Like today, this is not a championship team. It's not. You know, they lose to the Timberwolves at home. They're 16 and 12 at home. That's not a recipe. You know, they certainly didn't get to 40 wins before they got to 20 losses. That was Phil Jackson's old recipe. You got to get to 40 wins before you get to 20 losses to be a legitimate contender. There's certainly that's a little scary, but we all know this team does operate when they have Aaron Gordon, they operate much differently. Everyone knows who's getting the ball at the end of games. It's going to be the two-man game. It's going to be between Jamal Murray. It's going to be between Joker. Joker at 35, Murray at 25. Hell of a performance by both. Eight turnovers between the two. But what's going on with the Nuggets? You can't have two starters combined for 2 points. You just can't. Strother had 2 points in that game. He started. And then Cameron Johnson with zero. It's not a black or white comparison. It's not an apples-to-apples comparison. It's unfortunate that Cam hasn't really looked good. I mean, there hasn't really been a handful of games where we've stepped back and said, oh, yeah, man, Cam's been excellent. He does a lot of other things well, but not enough to make you feel better about losing that 19 to 20 points per game. So when you ask me what's going on with the Nuggets, where are you getting the production from your other starters? Now you're starting to see, obviously, Tim Hardaway Jr.'s had a fine season with the Nuggets. Jonas Valanciunas was a non-factor against the Timberwolves. But what's wrong with this team? You just don't have enough of your guys contributing. Christian Brown hasn't been great. He was 5 of 9 on Sunday with 15 points. I'll take those numbers, but you can't have two between two other starters. I mean, you look at Minnesota. Rudy Gobert, who had 15 rebounds, was their lowest scoring. He was their lowest scorer in the game. He had 7 points, but he's adding 15 boards. The production they're getting, obviously, Anthony Edwards, 21 points for him. DiVincenzo, 17 points. Jaden McDaniels, 20 points. Julius Randle, 14. Off the bench, Bones Highland loves playing against the Nuggets, apparently. 18 points for him. Naz Reid had 11. So, I'm not at the point where I'm, like, today, no, I don't think they're beating the Thunder in a best of seven series. They're not. Aaron Gordon is supposed to come back this week. Peyton Watson is supposed to follow shortly after that. Talk to me in 2 weeks. You know, and by that time, who knows where we're going to be. I mean, Mike, we're down to it. I think there's like 20 games left. We're getting down to it. And the Nuggets find themselves in the fifth spot right now behind the Timberwolves because of that loss. They are now 9.5 games back from the Thunder. I mean, that we talked about Friday. If you win that game, it counts as two almost. And if you beat Minnesota, Denver would be like 7 games behind the Thunder, but not the case. And they're now 1-9 in their last 10 against teams with a winning record. So is this a good basketball team? It's not a bad team. They're not a good team, though. And it's a little concerning. I thought that Friday night game was an excellent game back and forth. But you gotta find a way to win that one. You gotta find a way to beat Minnesota. Minnesota's just, for the last couple of years, for the most part, seems to really have the Nuggets number. And you mean you, and so many dudes were, a few guys were out for the Thunder. Mitchell was out, Williams was out, or Jalen Williams was out. Still, that was an even matchup in terms of the guys you had out versus the guys the Thunder had out. So that's one you really would have wanted to win. So am I freaking out today? No, not yet. I think once you get Gordon back and Peyton Watson back, which again feels like a cop-out to say, well, once Watson comes back, because nobody was counting on Watson being a really key contributor. But I will be curious to see how Adelman, who I have not liked a lot of his coaching decisions, the timeouts, having no timeouts with like 7 minutes to go, it's worrisome. The minutes still seem to be, it still seems to boggle him as far as how he's distributing those minutes right now. It's going to be fascinating to see what it looks like when AG's back and Watson is back. Do you replace Cam Johnson and start Peyton Watson? Obviously, you're going to start. You're going to go Jamal Murray, Christian Brown, And then either Cam Johnson or Peyton Watson, then AG. AG's going to start once his minutes are off the restriction. And then Joker, who comes off the bench? Do you really, I mean, is Cam Johnson, if you meant a guy that's definitely basketball sense here, is not there mentally right now. And physically, that ankle is still jacked up. And I think he's a questionable decision right now, whether he's going to play or not. I think he's listed as questionable. Let's see. Moments ago, I saw an update. He's just still listed as day-to-day. They're not, he's not optimistic about his chances of playing tonight in Utah. Do you consider sitting him down for a week and just, I know he's putting it on himself, man, but he's at a very tricky spot at this season. And, you know, he came to Denver not with major expectations, but some. There were some expectations. MPJ, all of us, whether we argued about the contract, nobody argued about MPJ the player. It was always about the contract. It was just, well, dude, with that contract, you can't do anything. You can't go get any bench players. And what the Thunder taught us all is they're platooning, man. Yeah, they've got their studs, but they can throw in a lot of different guys that can affect a game on a nightly basis. Even though, yes, they have their studs, they can throw a bunch of dudes. You know, Alex Caruso coming off the bench. Wallace coming off the bench. Aaron Wiggins coming off the bench. Jalen Williams coming off the bench. They have a lot of dudes that they can trust to come in and play some strong minutes when they get to the playoffs. And the Nuggets just didn't have that last year. If you would have stayed with MPJ, this would be the same roster as a season ago. With, you know, without, you wouldn't have Hardaway Jr., you wouldn't have Valanciunas, you wouldn't have Bruce Brown. So your guys coming off the bench would be Julian Strother, Spencer Jones, who emerged this year, Jalen Pickett. We'd go right back to the Zeke Nagy. We'd go right back to the same bench unit that you had last year. And obviously Peyton Watson would be the first guy off the bench, assuming your lineup looked the exact same. Also, the fact is we haven't really got to see what this thing's supposed to look like. In the offseason, it was, whoa, okay, new starting five minus MPJ out of there, throw Cam Johnson in. But you picked up three important bench guys along with Peyton Watson already there. Then you'd have four important bench guys. That's what it was supposed to look like. Jamal, CB, Cam Johnson, AG, Joker, coming off the bench first, and I guess no particular order. You go Jonas, Hardaway, Bruce, and Peyton Watson. That seems like a pretty lethal combination, in my opinion, but we just haven't really seen it. Michael, let's get to the good, the bad, and the ugly, presented by FMS Bank. Banking made simple. For more, check them out online at fmsbank.com/KFKA. The good for me, we got to talk about the Rams and the Bears. The Rams just keep doing it, and the Bears win on Saturday. We'll get into the Big Sky Conference standings, tiebreakers. Final game for the Bears is tonight against Montana. Can they pass up Montana? Can they pass up Weber State and move up a little bit in the standings? The answer is yes, but it's very convoluted because if you have a tied record and your head-to-head is tied, if you split, then it goes to the highest ranked team, your record against the highest ranked team. And that's where it gets really complex. So we'll get to that here in just a moment. The bad for me is the two losses over the weekend, essentially, Friday night and to the Timberwolves. Just, there's some opportunities there for you to prove that, hey, we're still without Gordon, but we got Joker. Jamal's been healthy all year, knock on wood. Should still be able to get one of those. If you really are a championship team, which today doesn't feel like it. And then the ugly, we go back to the game on Friday night, and that's Lou Dort with his little trip thing of Joker. I thought Joker was about ready to mess somebody up and get ejected from the game. Luckily, people, cooler heads prevailed and started separating him, but he was ready. If no one was there to separate him, he would have lost it he would have got ejected from that game, and then who knows if he misses another game or two. And that obviously that would have ended the MVP run. Not that he cares, not that anybody really cares. But it would have really painted a picture of just where we sit right now in this late season for the 25-26 version of the Denver Nuggets. And that's the good, the bad, and the ugly. Coming up next, Mike, we're going to talk about the Big Sky Conference and the standings, where the Bears sit right now. How much better can they be? Winning Saturday was so crucial for this team, Michael. They had to win it because that for sure keeps them out of the bottom four because they beat Idaho twice this year. So they're guaranteed right where they are. So they're in sixth place. There is a chance they can move up to fifth place. There is a chance they can pass one of these two teams, not both, Montana or Weber State. And the reason why it's one and not both is because it all depends on who is at the top of the standings, Portland State, Montana State, or Eastern Washington. So if you win tonight and you beat Montana and Weber State wins, then you sit where you are. Now, you could potentially... Okay, let's get into it, Mike. It's very confusing. I almost wanted to do it right there. But it's very confusing. We'll get to that on the other side. It's the whole show powered by Mosquito Joe of Northern Colorado. We'll be right back.
Listen to Coach Speak, weekdays at 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
There's only one feeling like knowing your banker personally, like growing up with a bank you can count on, like being sure what you've earned is safe, secure, and local. There's only one feeling like knowing you're supporting your community. You deserve more from a bank. You deserve an institution that stood strong for generations. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Hi, this is Terry Fry, author, journalist, screenwriter, and you're listening to Brady Hull on The Hull Show, 1310 KFKA.
Still Snoop Dogg and D.I. Guess who's back? Still doing this, Andre? Oh, for sure. Yeah. Check me out.
All right, it's a big game tonight. Kind of a big game. I don't know how much I really care about the standings for the Bears now that they've, you know, they're not going to get number one, obviously. Not going to get number two or three, obviously, or four. But they avoided the bottom of the barrel. If they just would have had a better showing in that stretch where they started a Big Sky play 1-7, that this could have been their conference. I know, Mike, that sounds stupid, and if this would have gone... This team should be at the top. They should be at the top. And I think that's what's so disappointing about maybe the Bears are messing around a little bit, didn't quite figure things out. I don't know. They had a player meeting, and then everything kind of went from there, losing just one game in that stretch. But I'm going to get into the tie-breaking scenarios because beating Idaho was huge. That avoids the bottom four, and that's important because you don't want to play four games in a row, Mike. So that guarantees, you know, the quest for the Bears is still three. Just how that's going to look, we'll get into it. Because Weber State is in front of them. They're 10-7. If they win tonight, and Montana win, if Weber State wins tonight, then it doesn't matter. They won't pass up Weber State. However, if UNC beats Montana, they will have a tied record. And it gets really complicated, Mike. So the way this thing goes, the tiebreakers, head-to-head competition. So your winning percentage during the regular season. Then the next thing is each team's record versus the team with the highest winning percentage occupying the highest position in the final regular season standings. What's confusing about this is you would then say, okay, well, what's the Bears' record against Portland State? Well, they split it. Portland State might not finish number one, so then you would have to go who's next. Because, like, Montana against Portland State won both of theirs. So then you would say, okay, well, if Weber State loses to Portland State, then there's a tie there. So then what you would do, let's assume Weber State loses tonight to Portland State. UNC beats Montana. We'd have a tie. They both split. They split against each other. Montana would get the tiebreaker because they beat Portland State twice. If Portland State beats Weber State. Now, here's the thing that makes this. If Portland State beats Weber State, then UNC would leapfrog over Weber State if they actually win against Montana, because Weber State's record against Portland State, they lost in their first game against them, and then obviously if they would lose again. So a couple of different scenarios. If UNC wins tonight, more than likely, is assuming Portland State wins, you just want Portland State to win, and then you would jump over Weber State. Now, if Portland State loses to Weber, potentially you could still pass up Montana, but you would then need Montana State to lose because you won't have any kind of tiebreaker there because you lost both games to them. You would need Eastern Washington to be the team to potentially move to the top because you split with EWash, and Montana, I think, lost both of their games to Eastern Washington. Yes, they did. So I'm texting Smiley back and forth last night, and I was like, so I'm breaking this down to him. He said it's really messy because Portland State isn't guaranteed to be the best team. If they lose again and Montana State wins, they potentially share it. I think that's how it goes. But there could be a three-way tie is what Coach Smiley's telling me. If they win tonight and Weber State and Montana, if they all end up 10-8 or whatever, Eastern Washington could get a piece of the title too. So basically, Coach is saying, all we know is we're locked in top number six. We could move up at least to five. Yes, you could move up to at least five, and that's going to be either over Weber State or Montana, potentially. Or you don't move at all. That could happen too. Because even if you tie Montana and Portland State handles their business, then you have an issue with that one. Because then it just goes down. Then it goes down to the next standings in Montana State if they win or lose tonight. Big games tonight. First Advantage text line 888-530-0043. All right, Michael, I got four tickets tonight for UNC and Montana. This is the final game of the season. Your final chance to go see the Bears here in Greeley. Final chance to go see studs like Brock Wisney and Zach Block and Quinn Danker. Final chance to go see dudes like that. Probably Yamazaki, too. I don't think he'll be back next season. So you want to go to the game tonight? I got four tickets for you. It's going to be a good one. It's going to be a great game. This could be a preview, potentially, of how this is going to look. And then, of course, I'm not going to go through the potential standings because we'll know tomorrow what the Big Sky standings look like, what the tournament's going to look like this weekend. So we'll get into that tomorrow, but right now you have a chance to go check out the game. Let's go caller number 10 on the First Advantage hotline. Caller number 10, 970-353-1310. Again, caller number 10, you got four tickets to go see the Bears in action tonight against Montana. Caller 10, 970-353-1310. 37 minutes after the hour, Michael. We'll jump out, take a quick break here. When we come back, let's talk about college hoops in the area. The Rams are red hot as well. What the Bears have done to turn it around to get to this point in the season for them, both the Bears and the Rams are having a feeling of why not us as they approach their conference tournament. Let's take a quick break, though. It's the whole show powered by Chevron. On Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFK. Let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
Hey, this is Ellison Hubbard, a former CSU Ram, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
I'm always telling you about On the Rocks Liquor, one of our amazing sponsors here of the show. They do their free wine and beer tastings every single Friday. So you're sure to try, you can try something new if you want as you're approaching the weekend. And maybe you're going to just go with the old standby, whatever it is you know, and that's fine too. But what I love about it is they're consistent. They're doing these tastings, they're supporting local breweries and distilleries so they can bring in local products into their liquor store. That's On the Rocks Liquor. Make your next celebration On the Rocks. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. Michael, how you doing, man? We haven't had a chance to talk, man. It's been a lot of basketball stuff here, and I know you don't really participate there. So how was your weekend?
I feel like I was tripped by a basketball player.
Why?
I feel like I was tripped, and I hit my head. That's kind of how I feel.
Oh, you don't feel very... You're saying you don't feel very well today.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Just dizzy in the head right now?
Yeah, a little dizzy.
Okay.
I got to say, I did see that highlight, and boy, that was a trip. That was definitely a trip.
Well, yeah, they upgraded the foul call to a flagrant, too. Thunder fans have a hard time with that. Mike, this is what I'm saying. Like, that's not a basketball play.
No, it's not. If I had done that to you... If I had just, done that to you in the hallway, you could have had me arrested for assault.
And I probably still might consider that.
But if we're
on the other side of the court and we're playing basketball and I set a screen and you run by the screen or you get by it and I happen to like stick my leg out a little extra, that's not a good play, but at least it's within the confines of a play that you're running in basketball. If a guy's running by you on the other side of the court, you're not in any kind of a press or anything like that. You're literally, you're just standing there. You feel Joker is walking behind you, and you put your hips out, your leg out a little bit. It wasn't like a leg trip, but it was enough. It was like a hip check to trip somebody. That is not a basketball play. And that should be, in my opinion, the way Joker handled it at the end or not. I'm making that a separate issue. That should be, in my opinion, a foul call that has you throw the book at that kind of foul. It's not even, you're not setting screens, you're not doing anything like that. It's 100% your goal is to trip him. And if you're a Thunder fan and you watch that game and you're telling me that that was not his intent, anything else you can say, okay, going up for a shot, I hit a guy and knock him down. Okay, my intent was probably to knock him down, maybe. But I'm still defending the shot. I'm still trying to complete a screen. So I'm gonna make sure he feels me. I'm gonna put my body out there and he's gonna run into me. They might call a foul. They might call an illegal screen. But in that particular moment, you're inbounding the ball, no press is on, he's not guarding anyone, he's literally standing there. Joker runs by him, runs by his backside, and you stick some portion of your body out to knock him down, your intent is 100% to trip him. And that kind of... I don't think he got any fines or anything like that, which is crazy to me. But that kind of play, and Joker said it at the end, like, that play has no business in basketball. There are a lot of foul calls. There are a lot of cheap shots you could take. I thought another one there, too, against... oh my gosh, why am I blanking out on Hartenstein? He's up guarding a guy, and Jamal Murray comes around, and he just throws his left arm out and pops him in the chest. They are dirty. The Thunder are absolutely dirty. And for Daigneault to come out, oh, well, we better see that on our... Are you kidding me? They get away with everything defensively, which I've made a case for. And they get calls for them offensively. I don't know why they do. And that starts with their head coach. They've mastered the art of being dirty. And when your coach says, "Well, we better see that as a flagrant," that is absolute. If you're arguing that that was not shouldn't have been upgraded to a flagrant two, then you should go watch the WWE or watch UFC, because that's what the Thunder were trying to do in that game Friday. Yeah, was I a little jokey about it on Friday, saying Joker's lucky to be alive, honestly? Sure. But that kind of play is the most infuriating play, and for some fans to try to defend that, it's ridiculous.
Are those young fans, or are those fans who watched basketball in the 80s and 90s?
It's all Oklahoma City, so they're mainly old people there. Some young people that like Shea, I guess. I like some of how they play basketball. That's the kind of crap that I don't. Now, if you're doing it when there's action going toward you, if you're on the other side of the half court line and there's action, offensive action, and you're just hands are all over them. We saw that several times last year with Caruso, how they're going to put their body all over you. They're going to be extremely handsy. Then, okay, some of that stuff, it is what it is. They play aggressive defense. People like you that think that there's not great defense in the NBA, then you should like to watch the Oklahoma City Thunder in that regard. But they also mix in a lot of dirty crap, a lot of cheap stuff, too. Aaron texting in, I'm available as enforcer for the Nuggets if they need me the rest of the season. They also need somebody else that's going to get in somebody's face.
Yeah, speaking of enforcers and getting in people's faces, what are the Jokic brothers saying about this?
Are they silent? I mean, when do they normally speak? I'm pretty sure they shut down their Twitter account. So I don't think they're saying anything about it. Will they be on hand at the next game the Thunder play against the Nuggets? I don't know. But Mike, you saw Joker's reaction. You think he needs his brothers? He looked menacing. He looked like he was ready to just honestly kill someone. And I'm glad people held him away, because I think that could have resulted in, that could have been something where I'm coming on here saying, yeah, the reaction was worse. But it wasn't. Luckily, you get guys that come in and try to separate everybody. And that's the thing of it. Like, it wasn't even against Dort. It was Jalen Williams and Joker going at it.
You know, if Jokic had punched him, if he had punched him, I would have been like, that's fine. I know it's illegal, but, you know, it's between two guys, and the other guy kind of deserved it. Yes, Jokic would have been fined and suspended for several games, but
yeah, I wouldn't
the
have
other
liked
guy
that.
Deserved it.
Nah,
you can't go tripping people.
Yeah, I wouldn't have liked that, though. But I did tweet this gem out, Mike. You know, guess the movie. You either die a hero or you live long enough to see yourself become the villain. And I had to put that. I know that was about Two-Face, Harvey Dent, but it did kind of make sense for this moment for Joker. Like, was that the moment Joker's like, screw it, I'm going to be the villain now. It's time to be the bad guy. No, it's not nerdy. You got a great player named the Joker, Mike. You can't throw Batman quotes at a guy named the Joker. If you don't do that, I think you're actually committing a crime.
I think you knew that like immediately.
Yeah,
I think
100%.
You had all that nerd stuff in your brain,
yes.
And that's fine.
Yeah, I had that in my head. And when Joker flashed that face, I'm sorry, I actually watched the basketball game. What were you doing? You were probably putting Legos together in your newest Kung Fu Panda 4 onesie. That's probably what you were doing.
I was watching an
overtime basketball game between two teams that really made it feel like it was a playoff game. So I'm sorry if I got a little too nerdy for you, Mike. But our stud that plays for the Nuggets just went villain mode. And I want to see more of it. I want to see more villain mode. I might go villain mode on Michael here during the break. It's the whole show. Powered by Mosquito Joe of Northern Colorado. We'll be right back.
For Nuggets, games, and talk. Keep it on Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, it's Andrew Bogish from CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
All right, we're bringing back an old segment. We're bringing up an old segment back in the... We're going to throw that in the 1 o'clock hour. We're bringing it back, Mike. The whole show pressure cooker. And Hooligans, I want you to have plenty of time. Who's in the pressure cooker tonight? That's what I want to know. You got a big game tonight between the Bears and the Grizzlies. Huge. You got the Nuggets back at it against the Jazz tonight. And I want to know, like, who's in your pressure cooker? You got the Avs rolling tonight against a not a very good Kings team, I believe. Didn't they just fire their coach moments ago? So who's in it? Who's in the whole show pressure cooker from your point of view? And I'll give you mine coming up. Top stories of the day coming up next.
This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.